Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
8 a.m. Good morning, everybody. It is Monday. It is Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan, missing one important ingredient today. Stephen Woods is out with strep throat and hopefully recovering. We'll get better soon. And I'm crossing my finger there's going to be back tomorrow because, you know, we just did 2 hours, Paulie. 2 hours without Woods feels more like 4 hours. So we're going to do another 2 hours. So that'll feel like 8 hours. And if we have to do it again tomorrow, we'll have already felt like we've done 16 hours in the first 2 days of the week without Woods here.
He does not like missing work, though.
No, he will.
He hates
I know.
Missing work. He goes on vacation and halfway through is like, I'm ready to get back. He really hates missing it when he's sick. I haven't heard much from him over the last few days, so I hope he's doing better.
So we talked about it in our open. You know, he's got kids who are 6 and 4 who are going to school. It is now the, you know, cold and flu season upon us in November when people are spending more time inside because it's getting a little colder, even in San Diego. And, you know, they got the little petri dishes that, you know, are the children that bring back all the diseases to the home. And it feels like Woods is determined to collect them all. And it reminded me of something that I used to do when I was younger. And I don't know if you remember this. They did it not that long ago, Paulie, but remember when McDonald's used to have the Monopoly game?
Oh, yeah.
And you would collect the game pieces. Like when I was a kid, you'd like find the, you get the board like in the newspaper and it would have the Monopoly spaces. And then you'd go to McDonald's and like on the large fries, the large Coke, they'd have the game pieces and you'd tear them off and then you'd collect them and like paste them or tape them onto your game sheet. And if you could put together all three of the properties, you could win like a fabulous prize, like a cruise or a car, or, you know, $100,000. I mean, just phenomenal prizes that I'm still convinced to this day that
Super Bowl tickets.
No one ever won any of these prizes. Does anyone know anyone who ever won a McDonald's Monopoly prize?
But I remember there was like a lot of controversy there. I think there was like a documentary about Monopoly and McDonald's and getting the winning piece.
So you figured out pretty quickly, like you could always get two of the three.
Right.
Properties, and you'd go and you'd keep getting the same two,
but
you could never find the third one because that was really the winning piece, the one that would give you the big prize, the boat, the truck, the $100,000. And Woods is like that with diseases. He's going for the whole set, but he just keeps getting strep throat. It's just, another strep throat. It's another strep throat. Just every time I'm looking for a new disease to complete my set.
I need chickenpox, but
Strep throat over and over again. It doesn't even help you. It's not even a virus. You don't even get immunity to it once you get it. You just get it again and again and again, like that McDonald's Monopoly game piece that you didn't need. I already have Baltic Avenue. I don't need another Baltic Avenue. Where's Mediterranean? Yeah, I got Park Place. Of course you got Park Place. It's Boardwalk that you need. And you're never going to find Boardwalk and win the $500,000 grand prize or whatever.
Just looked it up. McMillions. Looks like it's on HBO Max. It was a series, documentary series back in 2020. The story of an ex-cop turned security officer who rigs the McDonald's Monopoly game promotion for a decade, stealing millions of dollars and building a vast network of co-conspirators.
No wonder no one ever won that game.
Oh, this McDonald's CEO got the cruise? He just got the lucky box of fries. How about that?
No wonder no one ever won that game. I need to see that documentary. I missed that one.
I remember watching it, at least starting it. Fascinating.
But
not
I was
surprising.
I will admit, younger Ben, especially like when I was like, you know, 13 or 14,
oh, yeah.
This was the greatest thing. You know, like I can go to McDonald's and I get these game pieces and I can win life-changing prizes.
Well, of course, you went to McDonald's more
of course.
During Monopoly season.
Of course you did. Yeah, I mean, you had to get as many game pieces as possible.
You're like, all right, which soda size gets me the stickers right, on the back right. of the cup?
And
medium? No, I want the large then, if that's which
one
they're on.
And literally, I had the entire board filled except for the winning pieces.
You were missing
I was always missing the winning piece. On every single
gave up
one of them.
Way before that. So I'd get like two out of three on one color or whatever and be like, man, I need that other purple piece.
So Woodsy keeps getting the strep throat piece and cannot collect the entire set of diseases that keeps him out. And we feel like it was at least three times in the last year and a half or so, if not four, that he's had strep throat.
I think it's the second time this year. It's usually like right before the winter. Winter in San Diego, and
we're still early in the season. He's got plenty of time here.
Yeah, he'll be out again probably February or March. Get that strep throat again. Hopefully those antibiotics work, and we can see him back here soon. Though,
yeah, it's like you know how Jackson Merrill they always had. He's the youngest player to have a game tying or go ahead home run in the eighth or ninth inning since Mel Ott or something. Woods is going to try to collect that, but with strep throat. Like he is the youngest 49-year-old to get strep throat 17 times in a 3-year period and still be alive at the end of it.
And not that anybody should go to any job with strep throat. Like, contagious, stay home, get yourself right. You really can't come in and expect somebody to come in and talk into a microphone for 4 hours.
No, that would not be good.
And sound like Boomer Esiason.
Happy birthday to Danny DeVito, who's 80 years old today. Still, can't believe Danny DeVito looks...
I was yesterday. I mean, yesterday.
Was it yesterday 80, he turned 80?
Yeah, 80
I mean,
years
you still
old.
See him in all the Jersey Mike's commercials.
Look good
he looks,
for 80.
I mean,
he looks as good as Danny DeVito can look.
Exactly. I mean, for someone who's known for being kind of a
short... He looks healthy.
He does look pretty... It's weird. We've gotten to the point where, you know what? I am now at the point where, you know what, Danny DeVito? He looks pretty good.
I don't know that he ever makes it on People Magazine Sexiest Man of the Year.
I mean, his most notable role was for being like the genetic leftover material when they created Arnold Schwarzenegger in Twins. Yet, you know what? I think Danny DeVito looks pretty good for a man of 80 right now. Seems pretty spry. He's getting around all right. Happy birthday to Danny DeVito.
Now I'm looking at birthdays. Happy 56th birthday, Gary Sheffield.
Happy birthday, Gary Sheffield. We talked about Gary last week. He was at the MLB Live Awards. Horrifically bad show. It's Mickey Mouse's birthday today, Paulie. I don't know how old he is. He doesn't really age. It's also Minnie Mouse's birthday. That's weird. They couldn't have separate birthdays.
What are they, twins?
Have you ever met a spouse, like two spouses who had a birthday on the same day? I don't know. I mean,
I'm sure it's happened.
It's like one in 365 chance that it's going to happen. But I don't feel like I've ever met anybody who is married to someone who has the same birthday as them.
Trying to think if that's more convenient or much less convenient.
I think more.
I think it's more, but I also think it's no longer your birthday ever again.
That's a good point. You're sharing it forever and ever.
Yeah. But you can always plan joint birthday parties every year.
It's also Odd Socks Day. Do you ever wear mismatching socks?
Not really, no.
No. I feel like it would bother me so much. Even if I knew, like, even if you couldn't see it, like I'm wearing pants.
Right.
And they go all the way down to the shoes and you're not seeing it. I would know that the socks aren't the same and it would bother me. Like, Shelly has no problem. Like, she thinks it's fun and quirky to wear two different socks.
I have, like, a bunch of black socks and a bunch of white socks and they're all the same company, the same brand, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But I would never wear like a black sock and a white sock. That would look weird.
Yes. And she has like the Stan socks that are, you know, fun and festive, and she'll have two completely different festive ones on at the same time. Very Punky Brewster, if you know that reference. God, I'm dating myself here. Very old person. So anyway, again, just wrapping up our discussion on Jackson Merrill and the Rookie of the Year award that we were having in our last segment. Just saw Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline and MLB.com released a piece this morning. And it's not on who he thinks is going to win the Rookie of the Year award. It's who he thinks will have the best careers based on this year's rookies.
Interesting. Haven't really thought about that.
And as we speculated, I told you, the National League winners far outpaced the American League finalists. Not one of the three American League finalists is even having the top 15 of having the best careers of this year's crop of rookies. He actually has at number four, Jackson Holliday of the Orioles. At number three, Paul Skeens of the Pirates.
I love Paul Skeens.
Number two, Jackson Merrill of the Padres. And number one, he has Jackson Churio of the Brewers, believing that he is going to have the best career of this year's crop of rookies, even though he's unlikely to win the Rookie of the Year award. Now, remember, Jackson Churio is even younger than Jackson Merrill. He's 20. Jackson Merrill is 21.
I think, stupid talking point. They're all going to have, they should all have good careers.
Yeah.
Who has the best? How do you determine that?
I think with Paul Skeens,
most MVP awards, most World Series rings.
Anyone who throws that hard at that age, he's going to have a much higher chance at injuries interrupting his career. That's got to factor partly into the equation. James Wood is at number six, the former Padres prospect who debuted for the Washington Nationals this season. Had some good moments, had some, you know, rookie struggles, as most people do. I mean, what was amazing with Jackson Merrill was how few rookie struggles. It's one of the reasons why I truly believe he deserves to win the award. The fact that he was able to battle through the entire grind of the season without going through a massive rookie slump. I mean, a couple of weeks, essentially, where he had, you know, like the 1-for-20s or, you know, that's about it. Really minor slumps.
Yeah.
And while, you know, you could say the same about Paul Skeens, he never really struggled. It's hard. I mean, when you're only making 22 starts, you don't have the quantity of appearances to really go through a long slump. I mean, we wouldn't even, if Paul Skeens had gone through a 7-start streak where he had a 6 ERA, we wouldn't even be talking about him for the Rookie of the Year award, because it would be impossible to bounce back from that if you're a pitcher. But I promise you, if he had eventually made enough starts, he would have had some struggles, because every pitcher does, every player does in baseball. Jackson had a couple of small ones. Paul Skeens just didn't get out there enough to really even like get to the point where he was going to struggle. So I think you have to hold that.
He had a damn good year. You can't make it sound like Paul Skeens didn't have a good year. I just think, when you're comparing somebody that plays every single day, and not just plays, but contributes, leads the team. You know what I mean? He was a vocal leader in that clubhouse, in that dugout, all season long, at his young age, new position, all of that. I just don't know how you can compare a pitcher to an everyday player.
I can't wrap my head around it. It's weird, the fact that Paul Skeens didn't struggle is something that I'm holding against him. But I truly feel like he just wasn't even given enough of an opportunity to get to that point. And I actually feel like that's a point in Jackson Merrill's favor, that the small struggles he had, he overcame quickly and bounced back to, you know, start 155, whatever games it was. I mean, that's impressive for a rookie just to start that many games, and for Jackson to still be performing at the end of the season the way he did earlier in the year is rare. It's a precious commodity in Major League Baseball, and something that I think, you know, fully deserves him the National League Rookie of the Year award. Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong, and I'm pulling for Jackson today. And maybe it's just a little bit of conditioning yourself, setting yourself up to not be super disappointed. I'm a little nervous that the East Coast bias, the hype, all of that is very real with Paul Skeens. The fact that he was nominated for the Cy Young probably could sway some voters. We'll see. But either way.
The Cy Young votes came in the same time as the Rookie of the Year, so it can't really sway anybody. It just may reveal the mindset.
Yeah.
But they're different voters, too. You only have one vote if you're a baseball writer. And while there are more East Coast teams. So there's just one, like, one rider from Philadelphia, one rider from Baltimore. That's how it works, and they have the 30 votes then that make the decision on each award. And while there are more East Coast cities, that's, you know, you can get a little bit of a bias. I promise you, as much as, you know, whatever you want to say about the baseball writers, they mostly take the selection pretty seriously. They will do their research. They will talk to, you know, they will talk to AJ Cassavell. He was on, and he said, yeah, people have, you know, I've made my argument to the other writers why I think Jackson Merrill should win the Rookie of the Year award. He's let them know. Now it's just up to
AJ Cassavell's fault if it doesn't.
He wasn't convincing enough.
Yeah.
In you know, when the writers called him and said, "What's the case for Jackson Merrill to win the award?" AJ laid out the case. He's a full believer in Jackson Merrill. So that's I still think it's going to be close, but I think Jackson Merrill's going to get it. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We talked a little bit about San Diego State basketball earlier. Big night at Viejas Arena. Two major programs, basketball and football. And man, they could not be further apart right now. Another tough one for San Diego State football
over
the weekend.
Two major sports. I don't know that I'd say two major programs.
Good point. We'll get to that coming up after a check of Vicky Pepper's traffic. Woods and Kelly Danick both out here on 97.3 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just talking about baseball awards season. I think the race to the Heisman Trophy is fascinating this year. Get into a little college football talk, and Paulie and I just realized that we have the exact same take on San Diego State's game on Saturday night against UNLV. And that is, neither of us watched a second of it. And that's, when you think about it, Paulie, that's the problem. I mean, you're an alum. I'm a pretty dedicated local sports fan, and I just didn't feel the need, unfortunately, to even tune into the game. And guess what? We didn't miss much based on my my post Hawk, you know, reading of the recap. Fell behind 21-0 in the second quarter.
Saw the score Sunday morning. I was like, oh yeah,
never really threatened at UNLV late game. Like, you know, they are eliminated from bowl contention in Sean Lewis's first season with a seventh loss. They've got two games left. They're both winnable, but who cares? 5-7 and 3-9. There's not a huge difference in my mind. I know you can argue if they go 5-7 that they've improved from last season by a win. And if they get 3-9, they take a step back, quote unquote. Doesn't matter. You know, you're not going to a bowl game. You're not a factor in your conference. You didn't take a step forward. Is it fair to give Sean Lewis some patience as he installs a completely new system, new offense, is trying to recruit the right type of players? Of course it is. Of course it is. And to say that he doesn't deserve a second chance, well, you're just going to get caught in an endless loop of then hiring coaches and firing coaches. But you can also, it's also fair to be a little disappointed that there wasn't a little more excitement and interest in the offense. You know, hey, if they lost a couple of games 52-45 and it was, you know, run and gun up and down the field, and it's like, all right, well, you know, the wins will come. But we really didn't see the offense evolving that much. I mean, other than running plays faster, going three and out in 14 seconds is not really that much of an improvement.
They're not losing 49-45, nope. And the defense isn't there, but at least you got the explosive, fun offense to watch. It's a pretty abysmal state of affairs right now for San Diego State football.
It is.
I mean, just the product on the field, not great. The field itself, not great.
You know, the
opponents, not great. Like, there is just no hype. And when you're like, I watch a lot of college football on the weekends, man, and you're flipping around all the primetime channels, all the big games. You know, how do you watch Georgia, Tennessee, or any of these other big matchups and then flip over to FS1 or CBS Sports or the Mountain West app or whatever and catch a San Diego State game? It looks like two completely different sports.
The good news is you can change it quickly with the transfer portal and getting the right players. The bad news is,
so can all the other big schools.
Those players want money. They want NIL money to come to your school. And as far as I can tell, San Diego State doesn't have a lot of it. You know, they're Aztec Link. They said they're trying to raise $1 million. If I'm a San Diego State fan, though, where do you want to put that money? If you raise $1 million, which is their goal, and I think that's a lofty goal, but let's say you hit it and you squeeze the alums. Paulie, have you sent in your check for Aztec Link NIL money, Mesa Foundation, whatever it is?
If I do, is there a box to check that it goes to the basketball program?
And if you do, yes. Do you want them to spend that money on football or basketball?
No, basketball.
Basketball. Basketball, because that's where you're getting the return on your investment. That's where the excitement is. I mean, they're not only competing with the other schools in football, but they're competing with their own basketball program, and they're getting lapped over and over and over again. That's a tough battle to win when you're battling the other schools and you're battling your own school, and it's a losing cause in both cases right now for San Diego State.
You look at a school like Gonzaga, who's coming to town tonight to play the Aztecs. They're a basketball school. They don't have a football program. All their money goes to basketball, and you know, then you look at like a school like Alabama, who's now got a top team. Obviously, they're always a contender in football, but their basketball team has really come on the scene over the last few years. They're a top five team seemingly every week. That's the other, you know, but it's Alabama. They don't have a money problem.
It's money.
Exactly.
It's money. It's hard not to put together a good program if you have the kind of money that some of those schools have.
It's already hard enough for San Diego State to get any money in NIL money, and then to, like, how does that work? Does each sport collectively go out and fundraise their own NIL money, or does the school get it and the school
then
determines?
I honestly don't know.
Right now, if somebody wanted to give $1,000 to NIL, you know, San Diego State's NIL fund, do they get to say, I want this to go towards the women's rowing team?
I'm sure the biggest boosters can direct the money where they want it to go. I mean,
of course,
you're San Diego State.
I'm talking about the average.
Yeah, but
Joe,
the average, I don't know if you get to say where it's going. It's like, yeah, we're putting it in the pool. We're going to put it in the pot. And then you wonder, well, what are they spending that pot on? Did my $1,000 go toward a defensive back or a backup point guard? Or where, you know, did it go to, you know, keeping one of the great golfers on the golf team in line? We did our part. We gave Steve Sugimoto $100 a month.
Yeah.
We were on the cutting edge of NIL. So anyway, just kind of the separation of the two programs continues at San Diego State. Now, as for the Heisman Trophy race, it's kind of, you know, not something I usually spend a lot of time thinking about. Jake in the chat says the Heisman is Hunter's award this year. Travis Hunter. I think there are three guys who all have incredible arguments for the Heisman Trophy. Dylan Gabriel is the quarterback and setting records for Oregon of the undefeated number one team in the country. There's a certain segment of people who go, hey, you lead your undefeated team, you put up numbers like that, your team is number one in the country, you're undefeated, and you're the quarterback, and you've done everything that's been asked of you. That should be Heisman Trophy worthy. Quarterbacks generally have a built-in advantage for the award. I mean, you shouldn't be shocked if Dylan Gabriel gets a ton of support for it. Then there's Ashton Jeanty of Boise State, who is threatening the all-time single-season NCAA rushing record.
He's a beast.
I mean, you just watch his highlights. You know, he ran all over San Diego State, but he's done that to every other program. And if he lifts Boise State into the playoff in the first year and breaks Barry Sanders' rushing record and, you know, runs for like 150 to 250 yards every single game, how do you not give it to that guy? But then there's Travis Hunter, and, you know, the Colorado Buffaloes had another win over the weekend. They beat Utah 49-24. And what Travis Hunter is doing out there every play, and when I say every play, I mean every play, offense and defense, and being a star on both sides of the ball is something so unique and incredible that I tend to lean toward Jake. No matter how good Dylan Gabriel is at quarterback and how good his team is, and no matter how many records Ashton Jeanty sets as a running back, how do you compete with a guy who is making highlight reel plays on both sides of the ball? You know, huge interceptions, striking the Heisman pose, catching passes. I mean, and because Colorado is having success,
having a good year, that's important.
And they're now threatening to make the playoff here in Deion's second season. And things broke well for the Buffaloes this weekend because BYU lost to Kansas. They suffered their first loss of the year. So they are now tied for first place with Colorado. Big 12 is actually one of the more interesting conferences because this week is going to be huge. Now Colorado has to go play at Kansas. BYU just lost to Kansas. BYU has to play at Arizona State. They're at two losses, and they could get into the Big 12 championship game. Remember, the top two teams from the conference go to the championship game with the winner getting an automatic playoff bid. And I think Iowa State's still in the mix as well with two losses right behind. So they're hoping that Colorado and BYU stumble again somewhere. It's a pretty interesting conference at the end, but Adam Paul, remember Charles Woodson when he did a little bit of everything. He wasn't out there every play, though. I mean, special teams, a couple of times he'd be out there on offense, and he was the best defensive player of the year. He was an outlier. He was a unicorn.
Well, I looked it up to see if, because I remember, obviously, that he won the Heisman, but I was like, was he the only defensive player to win the Heisman? And yeah, he was.
Yeah. But
1997.
Travis Hunter is truly an unbelievable unicorn.
He is a star on both sides of the ball every single down.
And, I mean, think how hard that is. You watch players, normal star players on offense or defense after the series, and they go to the sideline and they're winded and they go to the bench. And then they get, you know, depending on how long the next drive is, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 7 minutes, if there's a couple of commercial breaks, might be 10 minutes, get off their feet, get rested, go back out and then play with 100% intensity again for another, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, and then back to the sideline. Travis Hunter is getting a commercial break and maybe a kickoff or two, and that's it. An extra point off, and then he's right back out there playing 90-plus snaps in some games and doing it at that level. That's a pretty good argument, and he is now the betting favorite for that.
Yeah, if Colorado's 4-5, it's still incredibly impressive.
It is,
but the fact that they're winning, they're exciting. Eyeballs are once again on Deion in Colorado. I don't know how he loses that award.
So the Big 12 has gotten intriguing. Oregon did narrowly avoid an upset. I didn't watch that game. They beat Wisconsin 16-13. There was a fake field goal, I think, somewhere in there that, you know, made things very dicey. They had to rally with 10 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. Probably will hurt Dylan Gabriel a little bit just having a close win. Was on the road at Wisconsin in November. I mean, it's a pretty good, you know, decent Big Ten program every single year. Elsewhere in the top 10, Ohio State continues to roll. They beat Northwestern. Texas had a bit of a game against Arkansas, ended up winning 20-10. Penn State rolls over Purdue. They're bad. The other big game was Georgia-Tennessee. Georgia, right, you know, one week out of the playoff picture at number 13, right back in it after beating number 7 Tennessee 31-17. And I saw some, you know, well, that's the disrespect. You know, you disrespect Georgia and not put them in the playoff. They didn't not put you in the playoff. It was a snapshot poll from a week. It's not the same as not being in the playoff. Just because they didn't have you ranked in the top 12 for one specific week of time, you don't have to get up in arms about that. Just go and win your games. We all knew Georgia is going to be in. If they win out, nothing's going to stop them. They're going to be fine. And they took care of business against Tennessee at home. And now Tennessee's kind of on the bubble, and we'll see where the rankings have them tomorrow when they release a new set. But they suffer a second loss.
Two more games?
Just 2 more weeks in the regular season, and then conference championship games, and then we'll know who the 12 playoff teams are.
I love this expansion, though. There's going to be... The thing is, there's going to be controversy, you know, but when you're talking about who was left out of 12 places, it's like, bro, you had 3 losses. I don't know what to tell you.
You had every opportunity to get into the playoff.
Whereas last year, when you have an undefeated Florida State that gets left out, like, that's a much bigger controversy when it's only 4 spots. There's not a whole lot of controversy. You can't complain too much if you don't make it in the top 12.
It's gone from true, that's not fair, to just the old... All right, it's a good sports controversy and something to talk about which team should have been in and which team shouldn't have been in. And that's why it's a much better system than what they had with the 4-team playoff. All right, we'll come back. I don't mind talking a little more football. We can turn our attention to a really interesting day in the NFL yesterday. Yeah, you know, it had some premier matchups yesterday in the National Football League, and some really good games that went right down to the wire. We'll get into some more football talk next with Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. That's a pretty good matchup in the NFL yesterday. I think some of the best we've seen, at least at this point in the season. And for the most part, didn't disappoint. Had my red zone fired up yesterday, Paulie. Throughout pretty much the 6 hours, and I did watch Sunday Night Football with the Chargers taking the big lead, then blowing the big lead. Lots of chargering going on. Unfortunately, the bungling that the Bengals do out-chargered the chargering that the Chargers can do, missing 2 field goals in the last few minutes and ended up losing on that J.K. Dobbins touchdown. Field goal kickers...
There was a lot of missed field goals yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, all year long, the talk is field goals are too easy now. I mean, just 55-yarder, 53-yarder, they're like chip shots now. It's like, we need to do something, you know, make the goalpost narrower, change the football again, whatever. And then all of a sudden, not even Justin Tucker can make a kick anymore. It's like become much tougher. And it does... That's always the case. As it gets colder and windier in outdoor stadiums, kicks get harder as the year goes on. You know, you better be making those ones early in the season because the pressure goes up, the weather gets worse, and it only gets tougher to make kicks. So we had some entertaining football.
And on a blocked kick.
We can talk about some of the good matchups coming up. This hour on Ben and Woods is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Speaking of football, Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Hey, San Diego sports fans, head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings. Try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and a mild, smoky chipotle heat. Or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce with a rich blend of spicy and tangy peppers. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. I don't know if you can order now. It's a little early for wings, but maybe you can schedule a delivery for later tonight. Watch the Monday Night Football game tonight. Or not. Dallas Cowboys. I mean, at least it'll be dark, so they won't have to worry about the curtains or lack of curtains.
No sun shining in.
At the stadium. I mean, the Friday night they had the fight there, and now they're having Monday Night Football on Monday.
Here in Dallas.
They're taking on the Houston Texans. It's actually a much bigger game for the Texans, obviously, who are fighting for a playoff spot. And, you know, going on to win in the road in Texas is always tough. So we'll talk a little more NFL. First, a little traffic from Vicky Pepper here on 97.3 The Fan. Whew, I feel like Travis Hunter when Vicky Pepper's doing traffic. I don't get to go to the sidelines for a minute or two, catch my breath or anything. It's just right back out there for another play. It's just it's fast paced. I mean, this is Ben and Woods' fast offense here on Monday morning without Woods even being here. All right. Yesterday, a bunch of top matchups, including the Bills and the Chiefs, which has become, Paulie, I think, the best rivalry in this decade in the NFL. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah.
This particular iteration.
You expect to see those teams in the AFC playoffs.
You
every
do.
Year.
Probably going to meet again in January at some point. And of course, this is just a regular season matchup. But Kansas City, with their 9-0 record, they could pretty much not clinch home field advantage, but give themselves a cushion and an inside track for the number one seed. Buffalo, meanwhile, came in with an 8-2 record. They're going, hey, if we win this one, we're a half game out and we'll have the tiebreaker and really put the heat on the Chiefs the rest of the year. Bills had the game at home And it was a good one. You know, it was close in the first half. Bills kicked a field goal to take the lead at halftime. The second half, you know, the Bills went out in front. Patrick Mahomes did his thing, scored a touchdown, brought them within, I think, two. And that put the ball in the hands of Josh Allen in the fourth quarter. And I'll say one of the more impressive drives of the year as he let his team down and then finished it off with his own 27-yard touchdown run. And it's really the element that Josh Allen brings. There are plenty of running quarterbacks now in the NFL who can pick you up a first down, you know, 10 yards and then slide. But the way he can bring his physicality like a running back and plow when he needs to, he can run over a defensive back or two, a safety even, and get into the secondary, and in this case, plowed over a couple of guys into the end zone for what was essentially the clinching touchdown run in the fourth quarter. It's a dynamic that he brings to the Buffalo Bills that, to me, is just like the most valuable skill. I mean, he's got an incredibly strong arm. He's a really good quarterback, but that's what really makes him dangerous, though, because you don't have to just worry about him scrambling every once in a while. He can do damage when he, you know, when he takes the ball and decides, I'm not sliding, I'm going for it.
No, he's been incredible this season. That one did not surprise me yesterday. The Bills, I think they were, I want to think, 2-point favorites, or were they underdogs at home yesterday?
Ah, you know, I would assume they were slight favorites given the 3-point
swing. I want to say it was like a 2-point favorite, 1.5 points, something like that. But I just felt like watching enough Kansas City. When I say watching enough Kansas City, I just mean on Red Zone, because that's pretty much all I'm watching on Sundays. It just felt like they, I don't want to say got lucky, but they weren't playing at a very elite level to be undefeated.
Right. They were far from a dominant 9-0 team.
They weren't dominant. Yeah, they'd been flirting with an L for most of the season, it felt like. And I just see on the road in Buffalo, a team that those teams have battled each other. They know each other very well, Mahomes and Allen. I was not surprised whatsoever that Buffalo won that game.
I would say the Lions were a more dominant 8-1 team heading into yesterday.
Yeah.
Than the Chiefs were a dominant 9-0 team. Now both teams are 9-1, and clearly now the Lions have been the more dominant regular season team so far in the NFL this year. They just absolutely slaughtered the Jaguars 52-6. It is funny how the bad teams always seem to go back to being bad. Even, you know, Jags, you know, make some playoff runs. They get Trevor Lawrence. But somehow the bad organizations find a way to be bad. Tennessee Titans are bad. The Raiders are bad again this year. The Giants are bad. They announced they're switching back. No, not switching back. They're actually going to, what's his name? Vito?
Tommy DeVito?
Tommy DeVito. Tommy Cutlets is going to be replacing Daniel Jones at quarterback going forward. Forgot. They're Tommy bypassing Cutlets. Drew Lock, going right to Tommy Cutlets as their quarterback. The Jersey native will get to quarterback, you know, his team in Jersey. But they're just tank. I mean, they're going for the tank. But when you've got all these other teams going for the tank as well, it's going to be hard to secure that first draft pick, whatever quarterback that they want to take. So the bad teams just tend to find their level. The Browns have gotten bad again. They got killed by the Saints and Taysom Hill, who scored 3 touchdowns. But there were some other good
matches. Hey, where's the freaking gabagoo?
Tommy Cutlets,
baby.
Steelers and Ravens, that's always a good rivalry game. The Steelers are an interesting, well-coached, really good defense. Still having trouble scoring, didn't get into the end zone, but kicked 6 more field goals, and it was enough when they were up 18-10 in the fourth quarter. Baltimore had the ball, and Lamar Jackson led him down the field for the touchdown, but they needed the 2-point conversion, and they had Jackson keep it himself, went to his left, there was just nowhere to go. They snuffed it out, they stopped it, and the Steelers held on for that 18-16 win. Gives them now the edge kind of going forward in the AFC North.
Steelers are a good team, man. That's a scary team when you get to October to January.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they beat the Chargers earlier in the year, and as much as it pains me to say, Chargers are good. You know, they still haven't beaten anybody. I mean, okay, so now they have a win over the 4-win Bengals as their probably signature win of the season. They're collecting wins against bad teams, but that's what you're supposed to do. And they have a legitimately good defense. And when Justin Herbert's on, he can lead them to some points. What more? You really don't need much more. They got a good kicker. they're going to make the playoffs and they'll be a threat against whoever they're facing. I don't think I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender this year, but Jim Harbaugh, he's done a good job in his first season. You know, whatever kooky things that Jim Harbaugh does, it's working again.
And with your Charger loving.
He's doing a good job this season. So, you know, they pulled out the win 34-27. Seahawks and 49ers was an interesting game yesterday. 49ers had a 17-13 lead, and Geno Smith was the one who led the Seahawks down the field and scored himself from 13 yards out in the final seconds for a 20-17 win. And that division is absolutely wide open. The Seahawks are 5-5. The 49ers are 5-5, and the Rams are now 5-5 after they beat the Patriots 28-22.
That's going to be, we just need one team from that division to make the playoffs, but nobody will be favored.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if the 49ers, if they get healthy, they could still be scary. The other teams are just kind of hanging around because the 49ers are not healthy. Even though they got Christian McCaffrey back, they're still missing enough players that they're not what we thought they were going to be. And, you know, the Arizona Cardinals actually still lead that division. They were off, but they are 6-4, and they've got a one-game lead over the other three teams. So that's the most wide-open division right now. Even the Rams aren't out of it with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua back. They both had pretty big games yesterday. Again, not a good opponent in the New England Patriots, but, you know, they're just kind of all hanging around and hoping that they'll have a shot, you know, a head-to-head shot at the end of the year to possibly win that division and, you know, sneak into the postseason. Yeah, probably won't do any damage once they get there. Good team to bet against once they get to the playoffs, but someone's going to win that division and have an opportunity to host a game in the postseason. So that's probably the closest division right now. Colts got a win with Anthony Richardson back at quarterback. He scored a touchdown to cap in a comeback against the Jets, who continue to find ways to lose under Aaron Rodgers. 28-27 was the final in that game. Vikings won again. They're 8-2, although kind of like the Chargers, they haven't really played anybody to get to 8-2. You know, that division
Sam Darnold had not played well for a while now.
No, but, you know, he'll get the job done against the bad teams. Yeah. I mean, that's the best division right now. The Lions are 9-1 in the NFC North. The Vikings are 8-2. And now the Packers are 7-3. Now, they were about to lose yesterday. The Bears had set up a game-winning field goal. And for the second straight week, right, had a game-winning field goal block at the end. The Chiefs did it last week. And it was the Packers who did it against the Bears yesterday. And Coach Matt Eberflus of the Bears got some criticism because he had time to run a couple of more plays to try to get closer. You know, the old Marty Schottenheimer in the playoff thing. Hey, we got a 48-yard field goal attempt. I'm good. Let's just let the clock run down and trust our kicker to make it. Well, I think it was straight enough. It just wasn't high enough. And the guy on the Packers got a fingertip on it and ended up dying in the end zone after getting tipped. And Green Bay is still alive there at 7-3. And that's, you know, the Bears just, I don't think they're a bad team, but, you know, in that division, they're probably out of it just because they have to play six times against three of the better teams in football all season long. And when you had a chance to win one of those at home and let it get away on a block field goal at the end, that's probably going to spell really the end of the Bears' playoff hopes. But we had a lot of pretty good games yesterday in the NFL. It was an interesting Sunday for Week 11.
I think we talked about it on Thursday or Friday last week, how the matchups didn't look great. There's only really two games that you had your eye on, and it was Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and then Kansas City, Buffalo. But those bad matchups can at least give you close games, close finishes. If you're watching Red Zone, that's the best way to consume it, in my opinion, because you got four games all coming down to the wire. And they may not be good teams, but it's going to be a close, coming down to the final drive type situation.
And then speaking of those bad teams, it seems as though Bill Belichick may be poised to return. And
that was interesting. I heard that.
Coach one of them next year. Yeah, rumors started flying about Bill Belichick is definitely wanting to get back into coaching next year. And then, of course, you start speculating, well, which team would be the right fit for Bill Belichick? And the pieces I read usually landed on the Jacksonville Jaguars as being
Mike Florio. I had, Football Night in America or whatever that they do on NBC before Sunday Night Football. And he came on and did his little report. And he said, yeah, you know, I've been talking to some people. They think Trent Baalke, I think, is the guy that runs the Jaguars. He's obviously going to be on the hot seat, but he said, I think he might actually get, not an extension, but he's going to stick around to bring in one more coach, and it could be his buddy, Bill Belichick.
I saw, if the Eagles flame out and they decide Nick Sirianni is not the right guy, that, you know, Philadelphia could be a landing spot for Bill Belichick this offseason. And the one I thought that would be really great for Bill, but the organization is too cheap and probably would never hire him, is the Cincinnati Bengals. Because they've got a great offense, really, with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and T. Higgins. Offense is in good shape. They need someone to fix the defense. And, you know, Bill Belichick can do anything. He could probably work some magic, you know, change the fortunes of that organization. But they'll never pay Bill Belichick what he's worth. They always want to go on the cheap on a coach. So probably is not going to happen, but that was definitely the speculation yesterday. All right, just had a little breaking baseball news in the offseason, a signing. Get to that in the Rondo Report next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.